AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The New Hampshire primary is 3 days away, and former President Donald Trump said Friday he would not choose Nikki Haley as his running mate. ABC's Melissa Adon in New Hampshire says Haley still has her eye on the top of the ticket.
Haley appealing to New Hampshire voters in her final few chances to keep her campaign alive.
Our best days are yet to come.
Nikki Haley is holding several campaign events today here in New Hampshire, while Trump is expected to make remarks tonight.
Former candidate Tim Scott shunned his fellow South Carolinian Haley and endorsed Trump on Friday. President Biden in Washington told the nation's mayors the country needs significant changes to border policy, something congressional Republicans have demanded in exchange for more aid for Israel and Ukraine. And a grand jury in New Mexico has indicted actor Alec Baldwin on felony involuntary manslaughter charge for the second time in connection with the fatal onset shooting. One charge was dismissed last year. This is ABC News. A grand jury has been impaneled in Uvalde, Texas, where parents want criminal charges after the Justice Department's report detailing failures in the response to a 2022 school shooting.
The DOJ hopes that other law enforcement agencies learn from the mistakes made here in Uvalde. Families of the 21 who died have other goals in mind.
I also hope that this lights a fire up under the district attorney because we know that she has not done a thing, and we refuse to accept that.
Brett Cross lost a son in the massacre. At least five police officers have lost their jobs since the shooting spree.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan. Basketball history in Palo Alto, California.
Win number 1202 for Tara Vanderveer. She has tied Mike Krzyzewski atop the all-time NCAA list.
Tim Swartz from Stanford with the call after the Cardinal beat Oregon. Vanderveer can break Mike Krzyzewski's all-time Division I record tomorrow. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Divorce court judges in Wisconsin have a lot of leeway when it comes to setting alimony payments. Advocates are working for a more fair and consistent formula. Here's more from Mike Moan.
Without that predictability, some people might not be getting a fair shake. Custody Exchange, an online firm that helps families navigate divorce, is out with a new analysis of alimony laws across the country. The company Shea Dress says only about a third have a formula on the books. The remaining states, including Wisconsin, essentially give judges discretion to sign off on an amount without a guideline. Settlement agreements often take shape beforehand, but Dress says that's not always the case.
If you can't reach an agreement, because many people who are divorcing aren't on super great terms, and they go to a judge and they say, okay, you decide, what should the alimony amount be? If that's you going in, you have no idea what to expect.
Dress says this can be especially problematic for those who can't afford an attorney to guide them through negotiations. The authors recommend implementing policies in states where there are none and for ongoing assessments of existing formulas. Dress says in cases where someone isn't able to secure fair terms, whether that's the person receiving the payments or the other half responsible for them, it can have a lasting effect.
Having bad alimony arrangements can have impact on each of the ex-spouses, on their children, and it can have ripple effects.
That might include housing instability or other forms of financial hardships. Indra says while existing guidelines can help a judge make a decision, there's still flexibility to consider traditional factors such as income levels for both spouses, their ages, and the length of the marriage. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 13. 2 below tonight with a few clouds. Windy on your Sunday. We'll see gusts to 35 miles per hour, highs in the mid-teens. For Monday, mostly cloudy, a high near 26. Tuesday, a chance of snow, still breezy with a high near 30. Currently, 14 below.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support honest Native news and stories from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, Haley, can you see that I got my Barbie, my Wilma Mankiller Barbie in the mail today?
Oh, you know, I actually think I can see her behind you.
Yeah, there it is.
She looks great.
Yeah, definitely. And she was an activist leader. Wilma Mankiller was the first woman principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. And she's on a quarter, too. So we're totally excited to support that. And I bought that from Barbie, and here we are, be able to give it away someday. But it's something that's pretty darn awesome. Hey, speaking of darn awesome, we have Dr. Stately on today, and we're going to wear him out. We're going to have him in for a couple segments for sure. But before we get to Dr. Stately, why don't we get an update from Governor Evers of the great state of Wisconsin. Ho-wa.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Happy National Apprenticeship Week. Apprenticeship, as we know today, started right here in Wisconsin in 1911. Since then, our state's apprenticeship programs have enabled folks to earn while they learn with paid on-the-job training. With over 200 pathways in everything from healthcare to manufacturing to construction, our apprenticeship programs help folks start their careers in some of our state's most important industries and prepare them for 21st century family-supporting jobs. I'm proud to share that for the second year in a row, we've seen a record number of individuals enrolled in our registered and youth apprenticeship programs, with more than 16,000 registered apprentices in our state alone, breaking last year's 20-year high. We've made smart investments to address our workforce challenges, expand access to worker training and apprenticeships, and reduce barriers to work for folks across the state. And the budget I signed this summer builds on that work by providing another $7 million for our state's youth apprenticeship program. Folks, our state has faced significant workforce challenges for years. When you couple that with our historically low unemployment rate and record high workforce participation, we must do everything we can to recruit, train, and retain the next generation of workers. And that's exactly what we're going to keep doing. We'll keep working to maintain Wisconsin's positive economic momentum, strengthen partnerships with local employers that make these apprenticeship programs possible, and build the future we want for our workforce and for our state. Let's get to work, folks. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Governor Evers, for that update. Hey, Haley, it's always good to hear from the governor and get his updates.
It is, yes. We're very thankful for Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin.
Hey, speaking of a really big shot that we know, Dr. Stately's on, and he's in the bullpen. Let's grab him, and he's got some cool lighting, it looks like, and we have Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community, Community Clinic, and good to see you and good to hear from you.
Jeez, I just chewed you out the other day for saying the name of my organization wrong the other day.
Who?
You. Remember at the, at the Native Rise event? I was just teasing him.
I know. I'm pretending I don't remember that conversation. That was a good time, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was really nice. I'm glad I went. I wasn't going to go, but because I got a ticket at the last minute. And, you know, it was a long week for me. My kids had hockey tryouts. So just every day racing back and forth, getting them from school, getting them to the rink, getting my tryouts, you know. I don't know, just it was a long week, so I was like, I don't know if I want to go, but I went and I was really happy I did. I'm excited.
Yeah, I got there too, last minute invite, and we should do that everything because we both had really good seats.
Yeah, that's going to be my new thing in 2024. I'm just going to crash all the parties. I'm not going to officially register.
Right.
I'm happy for you guys. I heard it was a fun time.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. It was like really like as a full house. You know, it was and you know what was the best part? The best part was that they had one of those old fashioned silent auctions. And you know, I was intending to eat my dinner rapidly and go back to the auction right before it closed at 7:30. And here we weren't even getting our food until 7:30. So that plan got dashed. But this is the way you win those silent auctions. You wait until the last minute. You go around. You write your name at the last second as the bell is about to ring.
What did you get?
I didn't get anything. I didn't want anything. I didn't go back. By the time they like served our food, it was already like 7:30. Like I remember, like Trish Cook saying something like right about the time the chicken came. It was like, she's like, the silent auction is about to close. I was like, oh, well. There you go.
There was a dance after, right, though, too?
Yeah.
There was, actually. And I actually owe them I should take care of that today. I owe the Dr. Bhoba and the OIC a donation. I walked up to Trish Cook. Remember those shoes she was wearing? They were like eight inch, whatever. Ridiculous, like, you know, like the, from the 80s or, you know, they're glam shoes anyway. I was like, I bet you can't dance in those things, can you? And she said, sure I can. I said, if you get out there and dance, I'll make a donation to OIC. And somebody, this other lady was, I'll match it. So I'm like, okay.
Well, I thought you owed them money because you went out there to dance and it was just...
Oh, yeah, like I'm paying them, what do you call it, for... Pain and suffering?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my restitution. Sorry for the damages.
Well, I've never been on the 50th floor of the IDS building in Minneapolis. That was scary for me. The older I get, Dr. Stately, the more I don't like heights. Isn't that crazy? And before, when I was younger, I didn't care.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I was holding
like
out the window.
Like, oh, were you like going up to the window looking out?
Yeah, and holding on to something so I wouldn't fall through, or I don't know.
What did you think was going to happen?
I didn't know.
Anyway, it's interesting. I too am not a big, huge fan of heights, but I've been on that. That was my second time up there. The last time I was there was Thanksgiving Day, 14 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah. I took my whole family, my kids and everybody to Thanksgiving dinner up there. That was back when they had the restaurant operational. I don't think they have the restaurant operational anymore. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, and let's take a break. And I just have to say this about our lieutenant governor. Whenever she speaks, she inspires me, and I'm not even kidding. She is just funny.
She did a phenomenal job that night, for sure.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, I was the only one that stood up and clapped, and I was like,
I wanted standing up. I couldn't get my camera fast enough to get a picture of you standing up, but I noticed that. But I started the standing ovation when she came in.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We're here with Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, the CEO, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
The Todd Almost Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And we're here with the lead tradition guy, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic, Dr. Stately. And Dr. Stately, we were having a little audio problems here on my end, and you were a little distorted. So now I can have a coherent conversation with you. And one of the things... It was a great show, I thought, Native Rise, and it was a fundraiser, and we got to listen to one of the actors, Kara, who was in The Killers of the Flower Moon. Dr. Hobart spoke, and he was the head MC, Lieutenant Governor, and then this author that I've been playing tag with, who works for the Minneapolis paper, Eddie, he was awesome, and we're going to get him on the show really quick.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
He interviewed me, I think it was probably maybe like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I think, around the time of the Wall of Forgotten Natives. He was a very good, he's an excellent reporter. And he's I haven't gotten his book yet, but he should have brought his book to the event and like signed them. I haven't gotten his book yet, but I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna intend to read it. I'm actually on vacation. Which is something that hardly almost never happens. So I'm on vacation this week and next week, where I'm technically on vacation, meaning I'm, you know, for a CEO, that what that means is you're burning down your PTO. You're actually just not going in the office. but I've been working. I'm taking like the minimum number of meetings. But one of the things I want to do on my vacation, in addition to taking a really nice bath, the bubble bath I did today, which is nice, self-care, I'm going to go see a couple of movies that no one else wants to see, so I have to see them by myself. It's the perfect way to spend some time.
Which ones are those?
Yeah, which ones?
I'm going to go see Saltburn, which is supposed to be an amazing film. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain. It's about a sort of a, it takes place in England, and it's it has to do with like these two guys who are in college together. This very wealthy guy takes this his roommate or a friend of his from college back to his family's castle which is called Saltburn. Anyway, it's supposed to be amazing. It's by a director who I just really, really loved. Her last movie that I saw, A Most Promising Woman, which was also a remarkable film. But anyway, I go see that because it's a little bit, I don't know a lot of people that want to see it. So I'll go by myself, which is fine. And then there's a couple other ones I want to see. So I'm going to go to that film, or that photography exhibit at the MIA. Probably the day after Thanksgiving, probably.
Yeah, I got to make it out there too. Maybe we can try and go at the same time. One of the things that you just mentioned too, we both talk about this and sometimes really seriously over the show, and I really appreciate it, Dr. Stately, is our sobriety. And I know when I first sobered up, I was given advice like, if you're not feeling good or something, do something different. And taking a bath was one of those things that really helped me. That was pretty interesting that you said that. I took a bath last night and usually shower, and it's changing up, but also self-care. And that made me think of that.
It's all about changing those neuro pathways that create habits and addictions and patterns that people tend to go back to. It's all about changing those neural pathways and creating better habits.
I remember when I won't tell people how I actually quit smoking because it's kind of a funny story, but I remember back in like 30 years ago when I first stopped smoking, how I would be like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I remember somebody telling me like, do you smoke in the car when you go to work? And I was like, yeah. Well, try not to smoke in the car. And I'm like, and it was remarkable. This actually changed for me. I stopped smoking in my car that time. But he was just like, it was a psychologist or a therapist asking. He's like, just take a different route to work. Like you're so much of your pattern of like lighting up, sparking up your cigarette and like smoking while you're driving is as much of a, just a, a pattern of habit as it is anything else. It's like second thought. Secondhand nature kind of thing, which is interesting because when I deliberately took a different route to work, which in Los Angeles is a big thing. Because you never know, traffic is completely unpredictable. But it changed. Actually, I had to pay closer attention. I wasn't really like driving and forgetting how I got there, that kind of thing. Has that ever happened to anybody? It's like, I'm like, oh, I don't remember how I got here. And it's because you're driving the same way that you always get there. If it's something that you do repetitively, it's almost like you do it second without even thinking about it. So similarly, that's how you change some of those habits, is you with intention kind of disrupt the pattern. You change the thing that you're doing to try to make yourself be more mindful and attentive to what you're doing. And that actually helps you to rewire your brain. Kind of a simple process, but shortcut, it's probably easier than mindfulness.
Yeah. Well, that's what you were saying.
Meditation.
That's what you were saying, Haley, about the rewiring. It takes 28 days to change a habit. That's why people go into treatment for 28 days.
Exactly. Yeah. And I get to be a part of the sober crew because I am sober from alcohol. I think I'm 280 days, so I'm waiting on my 1 year still, but we're going to get there.
We'll give
That's awesome. Congratulations.
We'll give you a medallion. I got a whole bunch of them here. It might be a 32-year medallion, but I got one for you.
That's awesome. And you're young. You're getting sober when you're a fairly young person. I got sober when I was 23. It was tough because I didn't know a whole lot of people at that age that were drinking when I went to, or using substances. And when I went to meetings, that was filled with a bunch of old crotchety men who complained about their lives and like whined about everything. And that's my perception. And I remember having this this thought where I was like, oh my God, if this is what it's going to be like to be sober, I think I'd rather be drunk kind of thing. I remember saying that to myself. But, you know, you have to like, somebody wise said to me, like, go to different meetings, go to like, you know, several different meetings till you find the one that you feel at home. And then you feel like you belong, like you fit. Because you're not gonna find the right one right off the bat. Most of the time you won't. So you can kind of just be open to exploring. That's right. Awesome. Congratulations, Haley.
There's 5,000 meetings in the Twin City area, and if you can't find one that fits, then it's hard. I know I was lucky. It was like the second wave of young people, and so I was hanging with a lot of young people when I sobered up. I also sobered up when I was 23. And that saved me. A friend of mine who went back out, I contact him every year. I just celebrated 39 years in November 9th, and thank him for saving my life. Because of what you're saying, Dr. Stately, it's like, is this going to be boring? I might as well go back to drink. And it wasn't. It was fun. We did a lot of the same things, and maybe the experts would have called that drunk behavior, but it still got me, just kept me sober.
Yeah, it's given me, you know, I know there's a lot of people that don't feel that AA works for them. And I certainly felt that way when I was like, I think I first went to AA when I was 17 or so, so between 17 and 23. I would go in and out of meetings, and you know, I had a lot of reasons for why it wouldn't work, and a lot of those were justifications as well. And I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, remember, like when you did you ever remember that experience when you would get so mad at somebody, you'd go out and get drunk at them? Like that was just a perpetual habit. It's like, I'm gonna go get drunk at you because I'm so mad.
I'll show you. I'll kill me.
Right. But it was like, it was hard, and it was like, but I stuck with it because the alternative for me was to not be around. Right. And,
right.
You know, I quit drinking on October 27th, 1985. And that was the day that was the last day I drank. And I wrapped my car around a light pole on 29th in Lindale. Jeez. And almost died in that car accident. And so, you know, I woke up in the hospital the next day, and a little voice said to my ear, like, if you drink and again, you're going to die. And I believed it, and I listened to it, and I haven't taken another drink since. So.
Proud of you, Dr. Stately.
That's amazing. It's totally amazing. And I know I wouldn't be alive if I wouldn't have sobered up, and I'm 62, and a lot of our relatives have gone on because of trauma and drinking, and your inspiration, and I appreciate you speaking your truth. Let's do another segment here. This one flew by, and it was really good. So, hey, it usually is, right? Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic, here in Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The New Hampshire primary is 3 days away, and former President Donald Trump said Friday he would not choose Nikki Haley as his running mate. ABC's Melissa Adon in New Hampshire says Haley still has her eye on the top of the ticket.
Haley appealing to New Hampshire voters in her final few chances to keep her campaign alive.
Our best days are yet to come.
Nikki Haley is holding several campaign events today here in New Hampshire, while Trump is expected to make remarks tonight.
Former candidate Tim Scott shunned his fellow South Carolinian Haley and endorsed Trump on Friday. President Biden in Washington told the nation's mayors the country needs significant changes to border policy, something congressional Republicans have demanded in exchange for more aid for Israel and Ukraine. And a grand jury in New Mexico has indicted actor Alec Baldwin on felony involuntary manslaughter charge for the second time in connection with the fatal onset shooting. One charge was dismissed last year. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's the Packers and the 49ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL divisional playoffs, Green Bay against San Francisco again. Few expected Jordan Love to become the quarterback he is this early in his career, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan.
He's come a long way because he's playing at such a high level to get thrown in there early in this year and have to go through some ups and downs, which he did some good things earlier in this year too. But to not win all those games, kind of when you're with a tough record in your first year, the pressure that comes with that, and just to watch him each game, he's been consistent. For him to take care of the ball the way he's done has been unbelievable.
The Packers will face a 49ers defense led by one of the best pass rushers in the league, Nick Bosa. I asked Jordan Love how good of a job has his offensive line been doing.
They've been doing a fantastic job, you know, stepping up to the challenges, going against obviously some pretty good D-lines. So they've stepped up, kept me clean, and been doing a great job of that. And obviously our run game is excellent at high level right now. So it's another test, but can't say enough. They've been doing a great job.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 13. Two below tonight with a few clouds. Windy on your Sunday. We'll see gusts to 35 miles per hour, highs in the mid-teens. For Monday, mostly cloudy, a high near 26. Tuesday, a chance of snow, still breezy with a high near 30. Currently 14 below.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're back here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities. Now you got me thinking, Dr. Stately, after you told me I kept on introducing you incorrectly. Now I'm like pausing The mind is a funny thing, isn't it?
That's a psychological strategy.
Strategy?
Just kidding.
Oh wow.
I don't know. I did what your aunties would do is I chewed you out in front of a bunch of people.
And then we took a picture. Behavior.
Yeah.
And then we took a picture. I was the only one going, huh? Everyone else was smiling.
Yeah. Hey. It was a fun night. I thought it was really cool that Kara talked about her own experience of growing up with trauma and her own experiences of having, you know, she talked openly about having a mental health disorder, you know, struggling with bipolar disorder and depression.
Yeah.
Talked about how she used substances to sort of, basically treat herself, heal herself or manage her symptoms. And I love that she, when she was talking about hanging out with, Leo, Bob, and who was the?
Marty?
Marty.
My buddy Marty.
It's just like, it's on a first name basis with all the big megastars. How she talked about, like, I don't want this character to be like portrayed as a drunken Indian. I want her to be strong. I want her to exude, like her drinking is a symptom of dealing with, colonial impact, trauma, all the trauma that's related to that, all of the violence and the impact that had on her life. And I love that she talked about that because that is, something we don't even see a whole lot in modern conversations about Native people.
Right.
And,
we're talking about Kara Jade Myers, and she's played Aunt Brown in the Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. And she was the guest speaker. And like you said, Dr. Stately, very powerful and, good messages. And geez, this part of time of the year, with the sun going down and holidays coming, I mean, it's good to hear things like that.
Good reminders, right? Because this is a challenging time for a lot of our relatives because we, we go into this time of year, it gets darker and it's colder outside, so we kind of tend to stay indoors and hibernate. We're doing the hibernation bit, so we're not being as social. but also, if we have history as our backgrounds of traumatic things in our lives or in our families or in our communities, those things can be triggers for us during this time. It's actually the worst time of year, and that's that worst time to sort of kind of be isolated and by yourself. So if it's a challenging time, try to spend some time with friends, go to movies, go to meetings, go to do something to kind of change up what you normally would do and seek support and try to get, be around other people who will make you feel or help you to feel like you matter. Because sometimes we can get so down and depressed, like we feel like nobody cares, that we don't matter, right? Yeah.
You know, that's something too that I was taught early on is, and I did that with friends in the beginning of my sobriety, is we would go out and help, we'd help feed people and do things to make us feel useful and worthwhile. And those times that could be dark or you're used to doing destructive things during these holidays is go out and help somebody and don't be found out. That's what I was always told.
Yeah, it's a good practice. These are the things that we were given to us anyway, original instructions, right? Be a good neighbor to each other, be a good relative, take care of others. If you take care of others, you'll be taken care of as well. And it's also, I try to remember those things. I've this week I will do things to be around other people because I won't be able to be with some of my family. And I'll be here at home with my sons, who I can't ever go anywhere. I can't ever travel on Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving weekend, because they're hockey players. And, you know, I don't, for whatever reason, Minnesotans are crazy. They have Thanksgiving and then they start playing hockey the day after Thanksgiving for 4 days straight, which is just kind of crazy making, I think. So,
Dr. Stately, were you a skier, a downhill skier at any time in your life?
Never. Yeah. I have cross country skied. Downhill skiing looks really dangerous, and it looks like, and I don't know, just call me crazy, but if Creator wanted me to go downhill skiing, but I would have been born with logs attached to my feet.
Yeah. Well, I used to go skiing every Thanksgiving, and look at where we're at right now. It's like 50 degrees out, and global warming's happening, and it's crazy. I mean, I remember having the big mule and going to the slopes, Afton Alps and all those slopes when I was young and agile. Now I'd break a hip, of course. I don't do that, but it's just the weather has changed, too. It made me think about that.
I'll hit the slopes for you, Dega.
Oh, Haley, the young one will hit the slopes. Make sure you wear a helmet because I need you.
Where are you gonna go skiing at?
I grew up, you know, in junior high I was in ski club, so we always went to Wild Mountain. I grew up in Forest Lake, so just north of the Twin Cities area. So we would go to Wild Mountain a lot, in Taylor's Falls, or Trollhagen was another big one, but that's out in Wisconsin.
Well, we're broadcast in Wisconsin too on 20 stations in the Civic Media network. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Who knows when the snow is going to come?
When I used to live in LA, I'd tell people like about, you know, the mountains we had, Afton Hills, and the mountains we had in Minnesota to ski on, there, and they would just kind of chuckle at me. They go, "Those are not mountains. Mount Josh."
They're called mountains.
I just watched that new documentary that came out on Netflix about the ski resort, the Aspen one in around Lake Tahoe. Avalanche killed all those people. Wow, I never knew about that. Do you know about that, Dega?
Yes, I do. I lived through it. I lived through history. That's why I was so good going back to school, especially when I was taking history classes. Like, I lived through it so I could write. I didn't have to study.
He taught history from a first person experience.
Yeah. Me and Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider. Jeez.
You and Teddy Roosevelt. Right. And his wife Eleanor.
No, that was Franklin. Franklin.
Oh yeah. Oh, the different Roosevelt.
That was Teddy's niece.
Yeah, Teddy was like in the 1800s, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was president in 1901. But he saved all the parks out there, which was pretty amazing. But it's weird; those guys came over. I was reading an article. They came over in the Mayflower, their family, and here's Franklin Roosevelt like marrying his second cousin, which is just totally bizarre to me. But
it's a little Appalachian. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Oh, where is my
it's like I don't know. I know some Indians that have done that,
Yeah.
They've married their cousins, or they've like maybe not married them, they had children with them. You know. It reminds me of that movie from Mean Girls. Remember that movie Mean Girls? Yeah. You got your cousins, then you got your second cousins, then you got your kissing cousins.
Jeez. Oh yeah, Karen.
Yes, Karen. Yeah. God. The one that knows has ESPN. That one,
ESPN. My favorite movie.
Yeah, well written. Yeah. Definitely well acted. What else is there? Helplines or what can? How
there
can
are.
Help
there are, and one of the things I would say is that what you would do is like if you were struggling and you were thinking. Specifically, if you're thinking like suicidal thoughts, like now nationwide, there's now the 988 number.
Right.
So 988, you would get connected with a live person to talk to and get some support and some help. And I think one of the things I was actually on a national call not too long ago with Indian Country News, I think, Native American Calling. We're talking about suicidality and such. And one of the things that I kind of like always take the time to remind people of is that suicide, by and large, while Native people, and it isn't true of all Native nations, but across the United States, we have a significantly higher rate of suicide than other communities. Some of that has, I think, to do with like specifically within like tribal communities where there's like nations where there's large disparate or the people are dispersed all over the place and there's not anybody that you can kind of get to easily and you can't spend time with each other or find a resource. They're like rural desolate areas. So having a national call line that you can call would be really helpful. But also like, you know, there's online on Facebook and a bunch of other social media platforms, there's ways, there's groups that you can kind of connect with that are, you know, support groups for people who are living in situations where they don't have a lot of access. Maybe they don't live in a big city or a town where there's resources, but they will be able to connect with people online. So looking for those things is really important. And if it's something that you notice that you kind of fairly regularly, consistently have this experience where you're feeling so down, so depressed and suicidal and having thoughts of harming yourself, reach out and talk to somebody and let them know and say that I need to talk to somebody because I feel like I'm going to kill myself or hurt myself. And if you're the person that's on the other end of that, take that statement serious and take action. So, and there's lots of resources online for that.
Well, there's Stronghearts Native Helpline too that I just want to give out. So that number too, mm-hmm. they are 24/7. You can call, text, or chat them. Stronghearts Native Helpline at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or chat online at www.strongheartshelpline.org.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. We're here with Dr. Stately, and we'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Albaugh with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, on The Buzz of the North, WBZH, 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're just having our Monday chit-chat and talking real and talking about real issues and real things in a fun way. We're going to have Gary Farmer on next week, Dr. Stately, and it's fun to have
really?
Gary. Well, now that the strike's over, we can reach out to our actor friends and have him come on and talk about their projects in the past and future. And he's a big-time musician, too, so we'll be talking a lot about his music.
Yeah, but, he's awesome. He's a great actor.
Yeah. Yeah, we just We just watched Smoke Signals, probably me for my 100th time, but Haley and I just last
week. Oh my God, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It was good. I cried.
You know, I had to watch that movie like 3 or 4 times before I realized, like, you know, that line that he says in the movie where he's like,
yep, I know what you're going to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, or that line where he goes, like,
I didn't mean to.
And I was like, so I missed the sort of the subcontext there a couple of times. And I was like, oh, because I was like, yeah, anyway. I had to, like, I was like, wow, I'm really thick. I didn't catch that the first time.
That was funny. Yeah, it just to set everybody up, and Haley thought it was cool too. And it sounds like you're eating cashews over there, Dr. Stately. And I think our radio fans are loving it. Hey, he saved Thomas, threw him out the window and saved him. And his grandmother came up to him and said, "You saved Thomas. You did a good thing." And he said, I didn't mean to. And at the time, it's a funny line because that's a weird way to answer it. But then we find out later that he set the fire. So it's like,
yeah, an accident. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway,
I know.
Well, I didn't put those two things together until I saw it, like, I think the third or fourth time. But I remember when I first saw that movie. I saw it at whatever the theater was on Lake Street and Lindale. There was like a little art house theater there way back in the day. This was back in like the, I probably would think like the
came out in 98.
So that's probably like when I saw it. And I went to see it with my nieces, Natchez and Deanna, my brother Charlie's daughters. Mm-hmm. I took them, it's home for Thanksgiving, I think, and we went to go see it, and we're sitting in the theater. And you know, it was uptown, so like there wasn't a lot of native people in that audience. There was like us and a couple of, you know, cool hipsters from the uptown and a bunch of other like white people. And at one point I realized, like, me and my nieces are the only ones that are laughing there every 3 minutes because we're getting the humor, right? And I was just thinking about how you know, when you were talking about Gary Farmer and his role in Res Dogs, about like how that sort of like seems to have changed over the last 20-30 years, is that, you know, we have so much more more Native art, Native movies, and Native TV shows, and we have so much more happening in that space that it seems like more white people get our humor now. You know, we're making such an impact on the social sort of the social context in so many ways, like mostly through social media, probably those kinds of things that. They're getting what we mean when we say the kinds of things that we say.
Well, right. Like the Res car, Dr. Stately, it took me many times to see the movie before I realized that same person that was in the car was on Northern Exposure for 9 years. I just didn't put 2 and 2 together for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. And that was a great show back in the day about Alaska, and she was the only Alaskan native on the show, but she was on every show.
Yeah. Do you watch, speaking of natives in Alaska, do you watch Alaska Daily
at all? No.
It's a movie that stars Hilary Swank and a number of native actors. It's about a newspaper.
TV show. Yeah. It was, it's canceled, but it's on only a year. Yeah.
I know. I'm so upset that it was canceled because I really liked that show a lot. And, you know, they were taking MMIW head on in that movie, in that TV show. So.
And here's another Smoke Signals thing. We had, I can't think of his name, Gray Eyes. We had him on Native Roots Radio, and when he was the head casino guy on Rutherford Falls. And I did not realize that he was in a scene in Smoke Signals when they were playing basketball in the beginning. He was one of the basketball players, and they were talking about who's your favorite Indian basketball, or who's your favorite Indian, is what he said.
Toronto. All those guys. And then one of the things I liked about Flowers, the Killers of the Flower Moon, is that Tatanka Munson is in it.
Yeah.
And I kind of met him a few times, and My nephew Ruben knows him really well. And so, like, we're sitting in the movie, and all of a sudden, I'm like, and again, when we went to go see Killers of the Flower Moon, it was like, you know, 9 o'clock at night on like a Wednesday, and it's a 3-hour movie, so there's like nobody in the theater but me and my sister, and like maybe one other person. And I'm like, oh my god, look at Tatanka Means, that's him. The other FBI agent guy. So, yeah.
He was prominent in the book. He was talked about in the book quite a bit, that character.
Yeah. I would tell people, like, if you saw the movie and you love the movie, I'd go back and read the book, because the book was really quite good. I read that book in 3 days. The 3 days, that first week I was sick with COVID, I read it like in 3 days. So, yeah. Oh.
So, Dr. Stately, it's that time of year again. I always quiz Haley, and she doesn't guess correctly, but it's that time of year to sign up for MinSure. And
actually, you're right. It is. It's November. It's open enrollment, right?
Yeah. So, Haley, what's that website to help all our relatives out there?
Yes. So if you're not sure what type of health insurance you're going to need going into this next year, you can head over to MinSure.org, and they will help you find an affordable plan that best fits your needs.
Wow. MinSure.com, right?
Yeah.
.org.
MinSure.com. Is it a .org? I thought it was a .. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure the Googles will help, but just put that out in front for everyone.
Yeah. Also, some people don't know how to navigate that website very well. And so one of the things they can do is they can also come to the Native American Community Clinic or another community health center within the Twin Cities or in the state of Minnesota. And those of you who live in Western Wisconsin or Woodbury, I kind of call them, they're the same thing. You can go to a community health center and they'll help you enroll, and they'll help you get enrolled in health insurance. It's really important to have health insurance because more people are likely to go to the doctor. It's the one thing that keeps so many people from going in for routine care. And, routine care is where we catch a lot of the conditions that will end up becoming more urgent and acute later. So,
yeah, I hear that so often. I had a friend of mine who broke his collarbone and they found out he had throat cancer. I mean, and they would never have found that out. You know, things like that. You hit that right on, Dr. Stately. Hey, we got a minute left, and I know there's friends of mine out there that are getting COVID again. There's an update. I think I'm not sure if it was the state where I read, or they're giving out free test kits again. And I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year.
You can look it up on the internet. There's Minnesota is giving all your free test kits again. You can sign up for them online, and they'll arrive in the mail. I ordered some last week from Amazon. They arrived in a couple of days. And it's really important to do that because it is going around. It is very, very contagious. And, myself, I've had it. A couple other family members have had it. I've had people that have gotten it. It's not going to necessarily make you as sick, perhaps. But one true fact, Minnesota and across the country, Native people continue to have the highest rate of infections, highest rate of hospitalizations, and the highest rate of death. And the majority number of the people who are dying are over the age of 65. So our elders, the people that have our knowledge about our language and our culture, these are important things to preserve. So do your part by getting a vaccine and also wearing a mask when you're indoors and there are people who are vulnerable.
Absolutely. That's a great way to end it. Dr. Stately, really, really appreciate you coming in. We have a lot of fun, but there's a lot of seriousness in our actions, and you do a great job. And your community clinic is the gold standard across the country. So I really appreciate you stopping on. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
An official visit from the White House to the Badger State will coincide with the anniversary of the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision.
Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin Monday.
Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and the rest of the team will be tracking Vice President Harris and her visit to the West Bend area. Find what you need to know here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.